just thank you for this day, Lord God, and we just rejoice together. Thank you that you're in charge of our lives, Lord God, during this time. And Lord, Bonnie and I have been placing a bloodline around everyone in this church since this stuff started, and we continue to do that. And I believe it's Jesus' blood, so I believe he's standing guard for us. And we rebuke these things that have come to harm us, and we just rejoice that we're well and whole. Hallelujah. We again lift the Wiley family to you, Lord God, and just sustain them during this time. Help them, Lord God. Sister Pam, Lord God, just move in a mighty way that she knows your hands are upholding her right now. And I thank you and I praise you for all the good, wonderful things you've done for each family. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord. It's Pentecost Sunday. I've been looking forward to it. Birthday of the church and the time that God sent his Holy Spirit in power. When Jesus came back from presenting his blood to the Father, he gave his disciples the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. I believe they were saved. That's in John chapter 20. Then they waited, as that song said this morning. They waited, and the power of the Holy Spirit came. I think we will spend a few weeks talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. But today is the day that the Holy Spirit fell. It was a supernatural day. And I just thank the Lord that we have these, and I say this every time we have some kind of a holiday or something, that it brings us to the place that we need to remember. It is a reminder that there's something that we need to celebrate, something we need to look into, something we need to watch and study about or prepare ourselves for. So praise the Lord, it's Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost is celebrated on the seventh Sunday, or 50 days after Easter. I believe the word even has 50 in the meaning of it, 50 days after Easter. So I want to read four verses where Pentecost took place. It's in Acts chapter 2, and starting with verse 1. Let's read that together and give God glory for his word. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's so short. Let's read it again. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's a fantastic statement. 120 people all together, one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Jerusalem didn't experience this. The upper room experienced it. Amen. When was the last time you were in a room when the wind blew? Isn't that something? It's a miracle. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My first part of this sermon is something I've been itching to say for quite a while, and I think Pentecost Sunday would be an ideal setting for me to express myself Amen? How many came here this morning to have church? I'm not talking about playing church, showing up because of some responsibility or tradition or some other feeling of obligation. I sincerely want to know how many came here this morning to have church, where you can shout and dance and bless the Lord with all your heart and soul. Amen? How many came here for that? Praise God. Praise God. I have to admit, I have a burning desire to cut loose in the house of God. I do. It's a burning desire. And I didn't come expecting to do it all by myself. You say, well, Pastor, you better do it all alone. I'm just too dignified for that Pentecostal style of worship. Sorry. I have to be excused from all that jumping and shouting and running and dancing. Saints, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. Amen? And I won't be, and I shouldn't be, all by myself. Because the Bible says if you won't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. If you and I refuse to praise our God, then the Spirit Himself just might, in an unknown tongue, speak through the floor you're standing on. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Please understand this and receive this truth today. It's a truth. The Holy Spirit in me encourages me to dance, to run, to shout, and the Holy Spirit has come alongside me and has come alongside you. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm sure there's someone in this place that has said in their heart, you don't have to behave that way to be a Christian. That's true. You don't have to act that way. You don't have to jump for joy. You don't have to stomp and snort and preach until you turn blue like I do once in a while. Amen? But I'm willing to be undignified if it means I can operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I am willing to be undignified if it means I can operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Many of us have heard this statement countless times, you reap what you sow. It came right out of the Word of God. You reap what you sow. In other words, you get back what you put into it. Hallelujah. Well, I want to invest my very best into the kingdom of God so that I can reap the very best from the kingdom of God. Yes. Amen. I want all that God has promised me. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants me to have it too.
Yes, He does.
He promised me and He wants me to have it.
Yes, He does.
Amen. Not long ago I said, Lord, I know this isn't much, but I give you my utmost for your highest. And when I sow into His kingdom, I know my reward is exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever think or ask. So I'm telling you today, you don't have to go all out for Jesus, but when the going gets tough, I know you will expect Him to go all out for you.
Yeah.
Amen?
I'm
sure that on that first Pentecost Sunday, Jesus' followers had an outward response to the presence of His Holy Spirit. An outward response. So jump to your feet. Wave your hands around. Hallelujah. Shout for joy. Shout for joy. Glory. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! It's Pentecost Sunday! Amen! Amen! Hallelujah! God is always good! There, I got that off my chest. Whew. Thank y'all. Now, It doesn't have to be the only time you jump and shout. Thank you, Lord. First part's done. Second part. I want to share with you a very interesting recall notice I received the other day. The maker of all human beings is recalling all units manufactured, regardless of make or year, due to a serious defect in the primary and central component of the heart. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype units, codenamed Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. This defect has been technically termed subsequential internal non-morality, or more commonly known as S-I-N, sin, as it is primarily expressed. Some of the symptoms: loss of direction, foul vocal emissions, amnesia of origin, lack of peace and joy, selfish or violent behavior, depression or confusion in the mental component, fearfulness, idolatry, and rebellion. The manufacturer, who is neither liable nor at fault for this defect, is providing factory authorized repair and service free of charge to correct this sin defect. The repair technician, whose name is Jesus, has most generously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. There is no additional fee required. The number to call for repair in all areas is PRAYER. Once connected, please upload your burden of sin through the repentance procedure. Next, download atonement from the repair technician, Jesus, into the heart of the component. No matter how big or small the sin defect is, Jesus will replace it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Please see the operating manual, the BIBLE, Believer's Instructions Before Leaving Earth, for further details on the use of these fixes. Warning: continuing to operate the human being unit without correction voids any manufacturer warranties. Exposing the unit to dangers and problems too numerous to list and will result in the human unit being permanently impounded. For free emergency service, call on Jesus. Amen. Danger: the human being units not responding to this recall action will have to be scrapped in the furnace. The sin defect will not be permitted to enter heaven as to prevent contamination of that facility. Thank you for your immediate attention. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have some copies of this if you would like to take some home with you. Amen. All right. That's the second part of this message. All right. The Church of the Living God was birthed at Pentecost, and the celebration of Pentecost has become a sacred day on the church calendar. Amen. Of course, Pentecost has always been a holiday for the Jews, and to them it was originally called something like the celebration of a harvest. In Israel, it was a harvest of grain, but for the church, it was a harvest of the Spirit. So because of Pentecost, you and I reap the harvest of supernatural power. The power of authority. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Power of courage. The power of boldness. The power of insight. The power to witness. The power of renewal and transformation, along with a new life in His presence. And because of Pentecost, His power is available to us in abundance. In Him, there is no lack. If we were to label Turning Point Church, we would be considered a Pentecostal church, meaning that we identify and seek after the fullness of the Spirit, just as the disciples did at Pentecost. However, we typically don't call ourselves Pentecostals because of the false doctrines of the churches that label themselves in this way. Now, no matter, do you believe that we need a harvest of the Spirit of God in our lives once again? Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. As God's witnesses, we cannot afford to deny or refuse to seek His awesome power. As a church, we cannot afford to remain the same. It is essential that we be transformed. And as children of the King, we cannot afford to ignore His immediate presence. Brothers and sisters, we must experience that Pentecostal power again. Let's go over to Acts again, chapter 1 and verse 4. And verse 4 says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me.'" And then drop down to verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." A lady went into the jewelry store and to get her watch fixed, and the owner disappeared into a back room for a minute and soon returned with the lady's watch running perfectly. Surprised, she asked how he could fix it so quickly, and he replied that it only needed a battery. Battery? Battery? Nobody said anything about a battery. I've been winding that thing for years. The Holy Spirit never runs out of power, folks. He is capable of handling all those things you believe you had to do on your own. Yes. We frustrate ourselves and we grieve the Holy Spirit when we do not allow Him to lead, to help, to orchestrate, to accomplish, to do what He was sent to do. Let me say that again. We frustrate ourselves and we grieve the Holy Spirit when we do not allow Him to do, to lead, to help, to orchestrate, to accomplish what He has been sent to do. Listen, folks, if you are a Christian, then the Holy Spirit resides within you and His almighty power is available to you. Amen? May I assure you that the Holy Spirit can complete any task, solve any problem, change any outcome, provide for any need through His unmatched power. Amen. Now, let me ask if you saw something in this text. God did not ask His people to do His work without giving Him the ability to do it. God did not ask His people to do His work without giving Him the ability, them the ability to do it. Obviously, that's why Jesus told His followers to wait in Jerusalem until power from on high descended upon them. The message of Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is simple. No one can represent the gospel apart from the Holy Spirit. No one can represent the gospel apart from the Holy Spirit. It is because of the indwelling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we make a difference.
Amen.
Did you hear that, folks? Amen. It is because of the indwelling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we make a difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, it says this, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Verse 5, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God."
Yes.
Amen. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the message of the gospel would rest upon man's wisdom and upon man's effectiveness. Listen to what the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, "Having a form of godliness but denying his power. And from such people, turn away." This is a warning to any church that may be putting more emphasis on the externals, the show, rather than the internals, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God forbid, folks. God forbid. Our vision should be that of the New Testament church that saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit as normal. The common experience that empowered believers to preach and teach the gospel. Those early Christians knew, as we should understand, that without the Holy Spirit, we will be ineffective in changing our world.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. The human body is the most remarkable machine. It can maintain a constant temperature of 98.6 degrees no matter what the weather is outside, whether a man is at the Arctic Circle or the equator. His body temperature is about the same. Inside the human body is the hypothalamus, right? Is that right? Hypothalamus, that is responsible for regulating the temperature. Amen. Inside the Christian is the Holy Spirit. That is the internal mechanism which maintains a constant flow of spiritual power, enabling us to witness, preach, teach, share, and ultimately influence the world for Jesus.
Glory.
Amen. Glory. It's inside and it comes out, folks. It's inside and it comes out. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Acts 2, 1 through 4. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Amen. Why was the symbol of fire important to those believers who received the Holy Spirit? Because fire is a sign or a symbol of transformation. Fire changes whatever it touches. Fire changes whatever it touches. How do we know that the Holy Spirit transformed these men and women? Because the Holy Spirit took a group of misfits, fishermen, former prostitutes, ex-religious leaders, tax collectors, various family members of Jesus, along with other disciples, and formed them into one united brotherhood that we call the first church. Before Pentecost, the disciples were scared. They lacked faith. They thought that their Lord had left them forever. They did not understand God's plan. However, after the Pentecost fire fell, this mismatched crowd was united as never before. No earlier event was able to bring such unity. Not even during their time with Jesus did these men experience the solidarity. It took the fire of God's Spirit to do this.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
There once was a blacksmith who had two pieces of iron. He wished to weld into one. He took them just as they were, all cold and hard, put them on the anvil, and began to hammer with all his might. But they were still two pieces. They would not and could not unite. At last, he remembered what he should have never have forgotten. He thrust both of them into the fire, then removed them when they were red hot, laid one on the other, and with a few blows of the hammer, they soon became one. What makes the church work in our day? God's Spirit. No earthly plan or program can accomplish or could accomplish what the Holy Spirit has done. He has unified countless people in various countries from differing backgrounds for the sole purpose of transforming them into a spiritual force of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It takes God's Spirit to do that. His Spirit. The church was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit, but our world will not be transformed until the church once again is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. As His children, we cannot afford to ignore His presence or limit His power. As His children, we cannot afford to ignore His presence or limit His power. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire. Acts chapter 2, verse 3, we just read. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. Did you know that fire appeared on the heads of each believer in the upper room, that it has a connection to the Old Testament? When Moses was dedicating the tabernacle in the wilderness, Leviticus chapter 9, fire came out from the presence of the Lord, consuming the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down on the ground. Hallelujah. When Solomon finished praying for at the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, fire came down from heaven, consuming the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Amen. These particular events indicated to the Jews that God had accepted the tabernacle and the temple as His dwelling place. The proof of His acceptance was the supernatural fire that fell from heaven. In the New Testament, under the New Covenant, Paul said that our bodies have now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So once again, God sent His fire from heaven to demonstrate that from now on, He would accept this new temple, the individual, as His dwelling place. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The church and those individuals that make up the church now have become the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit here on the earth. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19 that I just read reminds us that we are not our own any longer. And because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we are not alone any longer. Amen? I want to say that again. I want you to get it. We are not our own any longer. And because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are not alone any longer. Amen? Thank you, Lord. In John chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." I thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, saints, it'll be a glorious day when this pandemic's done. Amen. I want to enjoy the fellowship of my children and grandchildren once again. I really do. Bonnie and I relish those times when our family joins us at the house for special occasions, or even when they just drop in. It's wonderful. That's because their presence brings such joy, peace, comfort, and pleasure. It does that. We have a deep, binding relationship with our family. Amen. But brothers and sisters, in order for us to maintain that close family connection, it must be continually nurtured. Continually nurtured. Just as important is our relationship with our spiritual family, right? We must maintain our relationships. Amen. And we can strengthen our connection with our spiritual family by deepening our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We continually seek after and submit to the Holy Spirit. For if we do not nurture this relationship, our fellowship with Him will most likely fade. It will most likely fade. On New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing was that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. With all this vast oil resources, the truck ran out of fuel. Often Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance. And though they are, get this, clothed with power, that's Luke 24, verse 49 in the NIV, clothed with power, they find themselves out of gas. In Leviticus chapter 6, instructions were given so that the fire that fell from heaven should never be permitted to go out. That fire was from God, and therefore it was considered holy. So what about the fire from the Spirit of God? Do we ignore it? Do we allow it to be extinguished? Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. The Bible gives us a clear command in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Amen. Do not quench the Spirit. God says to us, never extinguish the flame of the Holy Spirit's fire. Those children of God who are walking in the Spirit, flowing in His gifts, cherishing His presence and stirring up the fire, have within them the supernatural power to revolutionize this world. Amen. Amen. Will you be one that helps revolutionize our world? Will you be one? We must possess the Holy Spirit's power in these last days. We have to. That's right. We have to. Brothers and sisters, it's Pentecostal Sunday. It's time to look seriously at our lives. It's time to realize what we must do as citizens of heaven. Yes. Not citizens here, yes, but citizens of heaven. Our home place. What do we do as we walk this earth? What is our responsibility? What does the Spirit of God put in our hearts to do? I love running the aisles. I wish this place was twice as big. I love jumping up and down. But I also love being obedient to what God puts on my heart to do. And those things will make the difference in our world. I'm not telling you not to run the aisles. We need some of that. But I'm telling you, there's more, and there's more, and there's more. The more we strengthen that relationship with the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, represents Jesus, okay? He's not just God by himself. He represents Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily when he walked this earth. And God the Father gave him all power and authority from that point on. He's who we worship. He's who we seek after. But it's through that connection we have that the Holy Spirit has built into us, because we've opened our lives up to receive everything he has for us. If we were all puppets, we wouldn't have any of these problems. We'd be out there evangelizing the whole world. But God wants our love for him to come from a heart, our heart, amen, not from his instructions, amen, or not from him, his moving strings on a puppet. He gave us that free will. So we can sit in our chair and never do anything. Or we can step out in the power of the Holy Spirit and be his witnesses. Yes, amen. Amen?
Yes, amen?
Amen. I want us to stand together, and I'm going to sing this old chorus, and I want you to join in with me. First, I've got to have a sip of water. I hadn't heard this for a long time, and it fits this message, well, at least the last part of it. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Okay, y'all know it now.